Lord, I thank you for this privilege and opportunity to share your word, to share truths. Now, Holy Spirit, you're in charge. I just submit and yield to you. Whatever you want said, what the Father wants said, and what he wants done, Lord, I yield to that as a willing servant to obey you and to follow you. Thank you for the burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God. Your word goes forth, and people have ears to hear, and they will receive, God, by the Spirit of God, because you are manifesting yourself, and you are bringing revelation to each one of us. Our eyes are open, God, so because we're hungry for truth, we desire truth, so that we can represent you rightfully in this lost and dying world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, the title of this message today is it faith or not? Everything that we think is faith is not a faith. See, everybody's got faith, but it's not the faith that comes, that's produced from the Bible, the Word of God. So what we're dealing with, the faith that we're dealing with today, is Bible faith. See, faith in its simplest form is simply what we believe. People have all kinds of belief systems. Really, our belief system is who we are. That's the very DNA, our makeup. And my beliefs used to be really different from what I believe now. And when I gave Jesus the Lord of my life and asked him in my life, and he came in and saved me and made me a new creation, and I became born again. Now then, I got into his word and I started developing and renewing my mind. So now my belief systems are in line with God's word. And because of that, because you believe, that's the reason we make that confession almost every Sunday. I believe what the Word of God says. I have what the Word of God says I have. I can do what the Word of God says I can do. And I have what the Word of God says I can have. Those are the things that I do believe because I have developed that belief system based on God's Word. God's Word is of primary importance, and it's number one in my life. And I believe it is y'all's too, or you wouldn't be here today. And you love the word. You love truth. We're not living by fables. We're not living by what other people think and other people say. We're living our lives by the word of God. That is our belief system. We talked last week about choices. The choice is ours. We have the right to choose, and we're responsible to choose. We make many, many choices every day. So what do we do when we're confronted with situations and problems in life? Anybody have problems and situations we have to deal with? Yeah, almost daily things come up. Is that right? Almost daily things come up that requires a decision to be made. What are we going to do? How are we going to respond? How are we going to act? What can we do? What needs to be done? What should we do? Because there's decisions to be made. Sometimes these decisions can be life and death decisions that can happen in the twinkling of an eye. A life or death decision we can be confronted with sometimes. Just driving down the road and somebody does something foolish. And they cutting you off or coming over in your lane. Well, you got to make a decision. Are you going to go in the ditch? Or what are you going to do? Are you going to slam on your brakes? What are you going to do? It's about choices. Well, these choices we make, when we make these choices and these decisions, if we're rooted and grounded in God's word, in our belief system, faith, Bible faith, that is produced from this word, then we know we have help to make these decisions. Because we know he's always with us. We know the Holy Ghost will lead and guide us in all truth. He'll show us things to come. He reveals things to us. He's the revealer of truth. And we can know things even ahead of time just from spending time with Him and yielding to Him every day and letting Him guide and lead our lives. So that is faith. Faith is produced from the Word of God. And if we don't make decisions and the choices that we make when we're confronted with these choices and these problems and situations that come up in life, they're either going to be made by faith, some kind of faith, but we're here again, we're talking about Bible faith. They're either going to be made by faith, we're trusting God, well, I just lost my job. What am I going to do? Are we going to trust God, that God is who He says He is, and God will do what He says He'll do? Well, I just went to the doctor, and the doctor gave me a bad diagnosis. What are we going to do? Well, there appears to be no hope. All is gone. There's no cure for this. Or if there is, it's a very long process. It's all kinds of things, you know, can run through our minds. Are we going to trust God? And if we don't trust God, if we don't have faith, Bible faith, see, sometimes we can be, there's three different areas, and this is really the subject matter of this series of messages. If you're not in faith, sometimes we think we're in faith and we're not in faith. Anyone ever been there? I have. I thought I believed God and was in faith, but I wasn't in faith. And that's where people are, sad to say. So that's the reason for these series of messages, teachings, so we'll know either if we're not in faith, then we're either going to be in foolishness or we're going to be in presumption. So those are what I'm going to be dealing with in the next couple Sundays after this. So today we're going to deal with faith. What it is, where it comes from, how to release it, etc. Because the more we know about faith, then the more we will understand how to respond when we are faced with crises and situations and troubles and situations in our lives. We will know how to respond in that situation with the God kind of faith. So the couple of text scriptures, if you would please, 2 Corinthians 13, 5. I'm breaking in a new Bible today, so it may take me just a little bit to get in. This is the third Bible that I've had since we've been here at Believer's Destiny. Now, I'm not going to be preaching out this continually because it only has the New Testament in it. It just so happens that today my scriptures are from the New Testament. And the other thing is, I left my Bible here yesterday at church. My other Bible that I'm real familiar with, you know. But this is a good one too. It's time to break it in. So 2 Corinthians 13:5 says this. Examine yourselves. My. That's something we can do ourselves. We're not to examine our other brother, our sister, our spouse, our co-worker, our children. We're to examine ourselves. Whether you be in the faith. That's where I got the title of this message today. Is it faith or not? We think sometimes we can be in faith, but we're not in faith. So we need to examine ourselves. What do you examine yourself by? From the truth, the Word of God. This is the standard that we're going to be judged by one day. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove yourselves. In other words, you and I can actually prove for ourselves. When we take a stand, I choose to believe God and to have my faith is rooted and grounded in what God has said. When you do that, you'll see that God watches over His word to perform it, that God cannot lie, and that God will do what He said He would do. And when that happens to you, they ain't nobody can take that out of you. They cannot convince you otherwise because you've proven for yourself that God is who he says he is and God will do what he said he'll do. Is that right? You're barking up the wrong tree if you're trying to tell me and convince me something otherwise. I've done proven for myself that God is real. Sort of like that blind woman, you know, when Jesus went in there and he laid his hands on her and he healed her, you know, and then they went out and then the religious crowd, you know, the scribes and the Pharisees, and they said, well, this man couldn't have healed you. He's a sinner. Talking about Jesus. And she just said, well, I don't know whether he's a sinner or not. All I know is once I was blind, but now I see. Boy, they couldn't convince her. The proof is in the pudding. Have you ever heard that? All right. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith or not. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves? How that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. In other words, you be lost. Your own souls. Unregenerate. You've got to know that Jesus is in you. How does Jesus come inside you? Well, when you acknowledge that, Jesus, I need you. I can't save myself. And I ask you to come into my life. Take control of my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. And when you make that confession right there, then he comes in. And you know that you know that you know. He changes you. There's a change. If there is no change, you just come and, you know, come up front and shake the pastor's hand and join the church or whatever, you know. And there's no change. Even you may even say, just repeat after me, you know, say this little prayer. If you don't believe it in your heart, see, that's faith. And confess with your mouth. That's how you're saved. You can just say the words with your mouth. But if you don't believe it in your heart, then you don't get born again. You follow me? See, that's faith. It's what you believe. You got to believe in your heart and then confess with your mouth. You can just say, you know, repeat after me, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. I realize I'm a sinner. I realize I'm a sinner. And I can't save myself. I can't save myself. Jesus, come into my heart and save me. Well, they can say those words, but if they don't believe it, there's no change. So that's what faith is. So examine ourselves, whether we're in the faith or not. Prove to your own self that God is who he says he is and God will do what he said he'd do. Second scripture is found in 2 Thessalonians 3:2. 2 Thessalonians 3:2, and then we'll get into the other scriptures. 2 Thessalonians 3:2 says this. Finally, no, that's number one, verse 2. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Now what he's talking about here is Bible faith. Even people that come to churches. Everybody that comes to church has real true Bible faith. Well, we say, what do I mean by that? Because see, everybody has faith because everybody has a belief system. Everybody believes something. But what we're differentiating is not just what the world calls faith. It's what the Bible, the Word of God, calls faith. Faith is produced from the Word of God. Bible faith. And not everybody has faith, even in churches. Because coming to church don't make you a Christian. Don't mean that you believe God. See, there's people that do have faith and do believe God, even in churches, that has faith and believe God for the salvation of their souls. They know they're born again because they knew they was a sinner and they couldn't save themselves and asked Jesus to come into their life and save them. And Jesus did it because they believed in their heart and confessed with their mouth. But then they don't have faith in a marriage, to stay in a marriage. They can lose faith. When I no longer love that wife or that husband, or I no longer love them anymore. So they can come out of faith in that marriage covenant. I no longer believe in that vow, those vows I made. See, so even though they can become a believer, they can be quit. They can, I call them unbelieving believers. They're a believer, but they quit believing in the marriage covenant. What about the gifts of the Spirit and tongues and the gifts of the Spirit? You've got lots of people that are born again, but they don't believe that healing is for today. They believe it passed away with the last apostle. My. Yeah. What do you do with those scriptures? It says Jesus Christ the same today as he was yesterday and forevermore. And then those scriptures, it says, when Paul says, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? See, they were believers, but they didn't. We hadn't even heard about the Holy Ghost. We didn't know there's a Holy Ghost. So you follow me? People have all kinds of beliefs. Not everybody has Bible faith. Yeah, they have faith that's rooted and grounded in some things of the Word. But then in other things, you know, they believe what they've been told. Yeah, they're thinking they need to have their mind renewed to truths in God's Word. See, a lot of people, see, everything that takes place in the spirit realm first. And then it materializes in the physical realm. And if you got to wait till you see it, that's not faith before it happens. See, just because you can't see it doesn't mean that it's not real in the spirit realm. It's already there because it already exists. And most people don't even believe that there is a connection between what they're experiencing right now and what they're saying with their own mouth. Most people don't believe that. But it's a biblical fact that the power of life and death is in the power of the tongue. A man's life consists not of the things that he eats naturally, but what comes out of your mouth is what defiles a man or a woman. And so we shoot ourselves in the foot a lot of times because of things we say that are not lining up with what God's Word says. And so that's where everybody, even that has faith, don't realize that they have to guard themselves. Guard what they say. Brother Charlie, if you would punch that up one degree on both of these. I knew once it cut on, it needed to lower it down just a little bit, but I don't want it to stay there. It'll be too cool. Thank you, sir. Okay, so let's get into the heart of this matter today, dealing with faith. Is it faith or not? Hebrews chapter 11, actually chapter 10, verse 38 through 11:1 says this. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning at verse 38. Now the just, or the righteous people, those who have been born again, shall live by faith. Well, if we're to live by faith, it would behoove us to know what faith is, right? What he's talking about. Because that's how we're to live. The Bible goes on to say, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So if we want to be pleasing to God, then we need to know how to please God. See, you and I, there's nothing you and I could ever do to cause God to love us any more or to love us any less. Everybody got that? See, God's love is not conditional. He loves us. And he proved it by sending his son to die for us even when we were still in sin. Unlovable. But you and I have everything to do with whether we please God or not. I love my children. I'll always love them. But you know there's times I ain't pleased with my children. Huh? Is that right? They have everything to do with that. It doesn't change the fact, the truth, that I still love them. That will not change. It's not conditional. But whether they please me or not is based on what they do, or say or don't say. You got me? All right. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall not have pleasure in him. See, righteous people, we live by faith. And if we pull back, if we compromise who we are and what we say we believe, because, you know, maybe with the different people that we're associated with or whoever's in the room, we say one thing while we're here, and then when we go out in the rest of the world, we may say something else. If we pull back, my soul has no pleasure in him. In other words, we're compromising the word, what we say we believe. We're compromising it. We're not taking a stand. Most of you know I do sell life insurance also. Thank God for that. I tell people I can help them in this life and the hereafter. My. Well, usually, 99% of the time, what I wear on Sunday morning, I wear Monday mornings to work. Of course, everybody sees this tie right here. Man, it's a beautiful tie. I forget now who gave this to me. Do you remember, sweetheart? It's got scriptures on it. Anyway, it's all about Jesus and faith. Well, we got a meeting tomorrow. You know, I got to drive to Kinston, you know, and the big, my boss's boss and his boss is going to be there. Well, if I wasn't being real to myself and I chose to compromise who I am, I would be tempted not to wear this. I'm using myself as an example. You follow what I'm saying? No, praise God, this will be on my neck tomorrow, whether they like it or whether they don't. That's who I am. No, I'm not worried about being politically correct, sweetheart. That day's passed a long time ago. Okay, so my soul is not going to pull back. I'm not going to deny. I am not going to pull back from God and deny him. But we're not of them who pull back, because I'm a person of faith. I'm a righteous man. You are righteous men and women. But of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now then, chapter 11. Do you know when the Bible is written, there's no chapter and verses, so it just continued to flow. So now then, chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is. My. Now we're beginning to find out what faith is. Now faith. First of all, faith is now. Remember what Phil Privett Jr. said? What is the definition for now? Boy, I got a hold of that. That is a powerful truth. The definition for now is the time just right before the present. My. See, God always goes back from the back and works towards the beginning. He don't work from the beginning and works out the end. See, he already knows the end from the beginning. See, he already knows ahead of time. He knew when the earth was created, he put everything in there that we would need. That's the reason the Bible says we ain't going to destroy ourselves. And people are so worried about, oh my, whether we're going to have enough, we're going to destroy ourselves. You know, whether we're going to have enough resources, because we're depleting our resources. We're depleting our water. We're depleting our air and things of this nature. Well, we do need to be a good steward. You know, thank God for his creation and all things he's blessed us with. We need to be a good steward of everything he's blessed us with. But God knew, he said, as long as the earth remains, there's going to be seed time and there's going to be harvest. It's not going to catch God. It didn't catch God by surprise. There's enough resources. There's enough oil. Do you know that the oil and all that kind of stuff was in the ground way before the vehicle was invented? There's things that's still in there that we ain't even discovered yet. You follow me? God already had it all worked out. So faith is now. Now faith is. Faith is not in the future. Hope is future. Faith is right now. What are you believing for God for now? The Bible says in Mark, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive. When are you to believe that you receive what you prayed for? Right now. When you pray, which is now, you believe now that you have it. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean, see, in the spirit realm, it's already there. Glory to God. We have to grab hold of what's already there. Just because we can't see it and it hadn't manifested in the natural, in our physical world, doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It is there now for our taking. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So now faith is. Faith is the substance. Faith is the title deed, so to speak. Well, Pastor, how do you know that car belongs to you? Because I got the title. My name is on the title. That's my car. You follow what I'm saying? Faith is the title deed. Faith is the foundation. This building right here, how do we know that it's going to support us? Because of the foundation. When you cross over a bridge, you don't ever wonder about whether this bridge is going to hold us. Because the engineers have done the research and everything, and they did what was necessary in the very beginning to make the foundation right. Remember the story of the winds and the floods and the person that built their house on the sand? And when the winds and the floods came, that house fell. But a house that was built on the rock, on a solid foundation, when the winds and storms came, winds and storms comes to everybody's life. But the house that stands, it is grounded on the Word of God. Faith, Bible faith. Faith is the ground. That's the substance. Faith is the title deed. Faith is the confident assurance. You can be assured when everything else is screaming against you, you're going to go under. You're going to fail. You can't make it. Faith will cause you to be rooted and grounded. Yes, because no, I believe God. My faith, my trust, my confidence is in what the Word of God says and what the blood of Jesus provided for me. My, 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 my. So faith is the substance, the assurance, the title deed. Assured persuasion. A firm conviction. When you are in Bible faith, you're not going to be wishy-washy. You're not going to be like a yo-yo. I preached a message one time. Don't be like a yo-yo Christian. Yo-yos go down, yo-yos go up. Now, we all have times when we get down, when we all fall. But thank God the Bible says, though I get knocked back down, I get back up. Hallelujah. I don't stay down. Hallelujah. Thank God. Just because we miss it don't make we're a failure. Just because we might fail doesn't mean that we're a failure. Thank God we can get back up because our faith is rooted and grounded in Jesus and His Word. We're persuaded. Just like Paul said, I'm persuaded that neither life nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth is able to separate me from the love of God. And if God is for me, it doesn't matter who's against me. See, that's my faith. That's my confidence. Regardless of what the world says or what the world thinks, my confidence ain't in you. My confidence ain't in the Democrats or Republicans or the Independents. My confidence is in the Lord Jesus and His Word. Thank God. We're going to stand. We're going to make it regardless. Because God, greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. As long as I keep focused on Him and His truth and His Word, and I release my faith and keep my faith in Him, and then I keep speaking that and don't allow the things, the circumstances, the situations to come to cause me to come into agreement with what the world is saying instead of what God is saying, then I'm going to be all right. Hallelujah. So faith is the substance and is now of things hoped for. See, hope is in the future. Hope is a good thing. If people lose his hope, they get depressed. They get discouraged. They get fearful. And they end up killing themselves or just give up. When you lose hope. See, hope is what anchors the soul. It keeps us steady. Our emotions. We're emotional people. God made us with emotions. But God did not intend for our emotions to be the locomotive. He didn't intend for what does the locomotive do? The locomotive is what drives the train. The emotions are supposed to be the caboose. The caboose is what brings up the train. You follow me? All right. So emotions are not intended to drive the train. So we can't be led by our emotions. And that's what hope does. Hope, our hope, just because I can't see it, just because it hadn't manifested yet, doesn't mean that it's not mine. Doesn't mean God hadn't already provided it for me. Doesn't mean that I can't have it. It just means I don't have it yet. So I need hope to ground me, to keep me grounded, my soul, so my emotions won't go wild and start saying, well, you know, this happened to so-and-so. They believed that and they died. They did this, you know, and what would possess you to get up and leave another state and go somewhere else and you not have a job or whatever, you know, because I believe God wanted me to do. I'm going by faith, just like Abraham did. See, that anchor, we need that anchor. If you get out here in Smith Creek, our property joins Smith Creek out here, and the tide comes out and the tide comes in. Now, if you're out there in a paddle boat, one of them pedal boats, okay, one man or two men, you're paddling, and the tide's going out, man, it seems so effortless, you know, but if you happen to be downstream, and you need to get back upstream, back to our property where you got on that, and the tide is going out, and you want to go up. Oh, my. You've got to have some horsepower to overcome that flow. Yeah. Or it's going to take you where... See, that's the reason we have to have that in our own lives, an anchor. See, if you want to stay just right there and wait till the tide shifts, then you better throw out an anchor so you won't keep drifting and get farther and farther away. That's what hope is. So faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hallelujah. All right, now then. Hebrews 11:6 says this. But without faith it's impossible to please God. For him that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So see, it takes faith to even please God. Amen. Remember I said, God loves us, but if we're not in faith, we can't even please God. That's the reason why faith, Bible faith, is so important. I know every one of you in here today, or you wouldn't have been here, want to please God. You love God and you want to live for him. You want to please God. I don't want anything that would dishonor God and bring a reproach to him and cause God to have to turn his head at me and oh my. That Gary, you know, when's he ever going to learn? You know, my. He just keeps shooting himself in the foot. I don't want him to say that about me. Well, as long as I'm in faith, I please him. Glory to God. You'll never, ever displease God by being in faith, trusting him, trusting his word, believing God's word over and above circumstances and situations. God will never, ever rebuke you. God will never, ever reprove you. God will never, ever be disappointed at you. Have you got that? All right. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says this. We have in the same spirit of faith as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore we speak. So here tells you something else about faith. We have in the same spirit of faith. You and I, the faith that is produced, faith comes, the Bible says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Is that right? That's the only way faith comes. Testimonies don't produce faith. Thank God for testimonies. They inspire faith. Well, if God will do it for one, he'll do it for me. God is no respecter of persons. Don't it encourage you and inspire you when somebody shares a powerful testimony about the goodness of God? Amen. That God is no respecter of persons. What he does for one, he'll do for another. See, but it don't produce faith. It just inspires faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So this scripture right here says, we have in the same spirit of faith. You and I, faith that's produced from the word of God, that's how faith comes. Faith comes. That means faith is there, just like now faith is. Faith comes. Come here, Bo. Come here, Sparky. Now, I wish they'd come whenever I spoke. They do what Pastor Cece does. Maybe she's got more faith than I do regarding the dogs. I'm just using that as an example. See, faith is, they come. It's there. Yes, it's listening. It's listening to the word that we speak that's in line with the word of God, that's rooted and grounded in God's word. So faith comes. The more you hear the word of God, the more it's spoken out of us, the more God hears faith coming out of your mouth and my mouth. Man, faith is there and it's present. That's the reason when you speak faith and you keep speaking, I am what the word of God says I am. I have what the word of God says. Lord God, you've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Every tongue that rises up against me in judgment shall prove to be wrong. What am I doing? I'm speaking faith. Faith is coming. And bless God, because of that faith, I can run through a troop and leap over a wall. It makes me more than a conqueror. See, I can conquer everything. We're more than conquerors through faith, through him that loved us and gave himself for us. See, that builds us up. And that faith, when faith is on the scene, praise God, that's when miracles can happen. So we have in the same spirit of faith. We have the exact same faith that God has. The same kind of faith when God spoke in the very beginning, when there was nothing. The earth was without form and void. God spoke to this chaos. Let there be light, and there was light. We have that same spirit of faith. And how does that spirit of faith operate? You believe and you speak. You believe and you speak. So you and I have, it's birth of God. It's born of God. It's God's faith. We don't have to do anything to produce faith and manufacture faith. Faith always comes. And it's God's faith. The same faith God has. So we're really understanding, and I know we're just reiterating faith. I know, you know, we're a Word of Faith church, and we preach about faith a lot. But we just sometimes it's just good to go over it again, because we need to hear some things. Again, to go over and over and over. Romans 12:3 says this. So the same spirit of faith, as it is written, we believed, and therefore have we spoken. We also believe, and therefore we speak. We speak. See, you can find and locate what somebody believes by listening to what they're saying. See, they can say they can believe a lot of things. I went to a person's house one time, you know. Pastor Cece was with me. And they claimed to believe certain things and things like this, you know. But then in this one area, they were in unbelief. And that's okay, you know. God, because ain't none of us knows it all. I don't. The more I find out I do know, the more I find out I don't know concerning God, because God is so awesome. You can study one scripture for a solid year and meditate on that one scripture, and God will give you revelation after revelation continually from one scripture. You know, Brother Hagin used to always do that. We had him for 2 years while we were in Bible college on the same subject. He always had the one foundational scripture every week, didn't he, Doc? But he always said something different. Something fresh, something new. That was just the basis. That was the starting point. That was the jumping off point. That was the foundation. So anyway, this, I said, now read your Bible. Read this again. They read it and they said, I said, what did it say? Well, they didn't want to say, because they had said something else with their mouth. But now the Word of God was contradicting what they were saying. And he didn't want to say that. I said, okay. I said, that's all right. Read it again. This time read a little bit slower. So they read it this time. And I made him get his own Bible out so he wouldn't think that my Bible was different than his Bible. So he's reading it from his own Bible. I said, read it again. He read it again. I said, all right, now what does the Bible say? What is this right here saying? He wouldn't answer. He was hawing around. I said, okay, let's read it again. One more time. This time read it slower, word by word. So he did it. He read it again. He read it slower, word by word. When he got through reading it, I said, all right, now what did it say? And then he blurted out, well, I know it says this, but I don't believe it. See, he had a belief system that was based and rooted and grounded on something he'd learned and heard from somebody else that wasn't based on Scripture. And when he said that, the Lord just said in me, spoke in me and said, leave him alone. Because that's unbelief. Jesus can't help nobody that's unbelief. So I never wasted my time with him no more, with that individual. Not that he wasn't valuable, not that he wasn't, you know, not that I was any better than they were. It had nothing to do with that. It had to do with when somebody's in unbelief, you can't help them. Jesus couldn't help them unless they choose to believe this word over circumstances, situations, or what somebody else even said. You could even go to Bible college. Just because you go to Bible college does not mean that you're going to be taught what the Word of God says. You're going to be taught some other things. That's the reason your pastor says all the time, you know, I would never, ever knowingly tell you something that I didn't believe was the truth. Because first of all, I know one day I'm going to give an account to the Lord for everything I say. Especially when you say that to people, he's given me sort of the oversight because they're his sheep. They're not mine. I definitely don't want to do anything to offend them and cause them to fall away and to believe something that's contrary to what God has said. Because it's serious. But I say people, I tell them all the time, I said, you get in there and find out the scriptures for yourself. And if I'm wrong, you come and you show me from the Word. Because the Word of God says, let everything be established at the mouth of two or more witnesses. Because we're all human. We can all miss it. Brother Hagin used to say that. Because it's a true statement. Okay. Romans 12:3. We hadn't got there yet, have we? I think I might have already quoted it. Romans 12:3. For I say, though the grace given to me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly or think correctly. According as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. See, God even gives you and I the faith to get born again. Up until that time, we didn't even have any faith towards God. But when we heard the good news preached, the gospel is the power of God, faith comes. When we heard it and then believed it and then we spoke out and come in agreement with it, faith was already present. Now faith is. And so God gave us the faith to believe. And it doesn't matter. Remember, the disciples came to Jesus to increase our faith, and Jesus told them about a certain thing. He said, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, it don't take great faith to do great things. It takes little faith in a great big God. You should say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and thou not doubt in your heart, but believe it. Those things shall come to pass. You'll have it. See, it don't take great faith, even just a mustard seed of faith, to believe God. And then if you want more faith, then continue to keep reading the Word and stay in the Word, because faith comes. That's the only way that God kind of faith can come. Now here's the last scripture I'm reading regarding this right here, and then we'll close for today on this subject, because I want to make sure I hit this subject. And then next week we'll follow on. It'll be a continuation. Because if you're not in faith, you're going to be in foolishness or presumption, one or the other. So that's the reason why I'm taking the time to divide it up and not try to put it all in here together and give you too much information at one time. I'm dealing with each individual subject at a time so we can know, first of all, what faith is, how faith comes, that everybody has the God kind of faith, and that God has given to every man the measure of faith. And you can increase that measure by staying in the Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. See, by virtue of you being in here today, you're hearing the Word of God. So faith is here. Faith is coming. It's adding to the faith you already had. And that's what he says in James. Add to your faith. Man, I want more faith. I'm not satisfied with where I'm at. I want to be strong in faith. Because I want to be able to pray and things happen. And it doesn't mean that just because it don't happen right off the way, you just have small faith and you keep believing that and it will happen. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen yet. Just because you don't see it and don't have it now doesn't mean it's not there. You just keep believing it. But we want to be faith giants and men and women of God. All right, so those are the things regarding faith. And here's the last thing. This is the icing on the cake regarding faith. Galatians chapter 5, verse 6 says this. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision. In other words, we make mountains out of molehills. We think some things are important to God and they're not important to God. What matters is whether we're in faith, and then look at the last part of that. But faith works by love. This is why I said this is the icing on the cake. Another place the Word of God says, now abides faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. See, you can be a faith giant and a faith woman because you spent lots of time in the Word of God. Hearing the Word of God over and over and over and over and over again. You have faith that you can move mountains. But your faith, you're going to shoot yourself in the foot if you're not in love. Faith works by love. So if you're not in love, you can deceive yourself thinking you're in faith and you're not. You're being a fool. You can fool yourself. Or you're presuming that you think you're right and you're thinking God is with you. Bless God, I'm the man of the hour and power, you know. And I had it out with my precious wife, you know. No, I didn't have, but I'm just using this as an example, okay? And I wasn't loving to her. I was harsh and disrespectful. And And there's sometimes I am. But when I do, I'm quick to repent. When I repent, God, Father, forgive me. We all are. We miss it. The love walk is tough. So we better know if faith works by love, and faith is what pleases God, and and with faith all things are possible through him that believes. In other words, if we really want to see miracles take place and things in our life, circumstances, and situations to change, and we need to stay in faith because it's what we believe, all things are possible to him that believes, then we better understand and know how to operate and walk in love. Am I right? Because faith works by love. That's the only way it works. Now, love doesn't mean that just because you tell somebody the truth, Paul said, have I made you my enemy because I tell you the truth? You know, love does what's most beneficial for the individual at that time. Sometimes it's not most beneficial just to give them everything they want. In fact, if you give your child something that they didn't earn, then they take it for granted. They expect it. And then they think they're entitled to it. It's good to do things for your children and other people. But if you just lavish and just give it, well, I'm supposed to be in love. I'm supposed to be in love. And you don't exercise tough love. And they don't ever, you know, they curse you behind your back or you know, have nothing to do with you and your God or whatever. You know, you've got to trust God. You don't reward that kind of behavior. You follow me? So it's learning how to operate in love, the right kind of love and the God kind of love. Amen? And it's not based on feelings. It's not based on fickleness. Well, if you do this for me, then I'll love you. And if you give me this, then I'll love you. And if you don't, then I won't. I'll withhold my love. See, that ain't God's love. No, you can be displeased with them and you don't like it, but your love needs to be constant and consistent. But it doesn't mean you give them everything they want. In fact, the best thing for them, because you do love them, there's some things you want to protect them and not give them everything that they may want, because they can't handle it. Does God do us that way? Because he knows if he gives us everything that, you know, until we get ready to receive it, until our hearts are right and we've grown a little bit, he don't just give it to us because we're not able to handle it. We'd get puffed up, we'd get in pride, we'd get, you know, it would destroy us. Most people that win the lottery because they've never had a bunch of money and suddenly a bunch of money comes into their hands. And they're not trusting God and not honoring God with what they already have and believe in God, it destroys them. A year from the time they win it, most of the times, now they're broke again. See, those are spiritual laws. Brother Charlie, would you go get Miss Pat, please? So, faith works by love. So we need to learn how to operate in the God kind of love. God's love. And God has a lot to say about that, just like he has to say about faith. So you don't want to miss next week. In fact, in Mark 9:23 was the last scripture I had, and I quoted it. And we'll just turn that right quick while Charlie's going to get Miss Pat. Mark 9:23 says this. And then we're going to bless her, lay our hands on her, and release her. And we're going to let her know that the church supports her and is praying for her and going to believe God for pray a hedge of protection around about her and see that great and mighty things are done in her life and on this, all the people that are going on this trip with. Mark 9:23 says this. I'll get there in just a second. I know Miss Vonda's already got it up there, ain't she? I'll just look. Jesus said unto him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. So I quoted that scripture, but you need to see the address that it's in there. So all things are possible to him that believes. So it behooves us to stay in faith, especially if faith works by love, it behooves us to stay in love. You know, when you get in strife and discord, and you know the Bible says where there's envy and strife is, there's every evil work. Last week, our youth did a and some children did a puppet show, and one of them was shut the door on the devil, keep the devil in the night, keep the devil in the dark. Well, we open the door to the devil when we get in unbelief, when we get in unforgiveness, when we get in strife, when we get in jealousy, when we get in envying, when we get in fear. Perfect love, see, casts out fear. There's no fear in love. So that's the God kind of love. If you're in God's love, operating in God kind of love, so this is how you can know whether you're in faith or not. If you have fear, you're not in God's love. You see how the two interconnects? I just connected it with the Word of God. Perfect love casts out fear. If you're fearful, you're not in love. And your faith ain't working. No wonder things happen. No wonder we shoot ourselves in the foot. If we get involved in strife and bitterness and resentment and jealousy and envy and unforgiveness, that's not love. We shoot ourselves in the foot. Our faith won't work. We may have been in the Word for years and read the Bible and heard the Bible for years, but we will not see great things happen because we didn't shut the door on the devil. You got to shut that door. You shut that door how? By giving no place to the devil. By walking in love. Faith works by love. When you're walking in love, walking, believing God's word and speaking God's word, then that door is shut to the devil. And if you give him a crack, he'll take a mile. He'll just blow that door wide open and come on in and set up house. He'll take his liberties. And I don't know about you, but he's done enough of that in my life. And so I'm learning every day how to shut the door, keep out the devil in my own life. Amen? Praise God.